Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
But first, sad news breaking there in the last hour. We were talking about him last week. Singer Chris Rea has died at the age of 74. And we will hear more about his really extraordinary career later. But first, let's hear some of his biggest hits. Oh yeah, Chris Rea there, and some hits that really lasted, and you know, that are special to so many people. Simon Marr, founder of 8radio.com, joins me now. Simon, very sad news this Christmas, and particularly for somebody who is so associated with all our Christmases.
Oh, absolutely so. And I'm really, really sad. And the fact that, you know, he's only 74, which these days is a young man, but somebody who had been sick for quite some time, but had released 25 albums in his career, sold 30 million copies, probably was best known for the last tune that you played there for Driving Home for Christmas, but had such a broad catalogue. And what was amazing about him is that he came from, like, what I suppose you'd describe as un-rock and roll a background as you could possibly get, in Italian dad and an Irish mam, you know, brought up in Middlesbrough, in real sort of working class industrial Middlesbrough, and to go on and to become the global superstar that he became was something amazing.
Yeah, and he did lean into that Irish part of his background as well, didn't he, Simon?
Oh, very much so, very much so. One of my favourite Chris Rea albums is an album called Shamrock Diaries that he released in the mid-80s. So before real, I suppose he had his real commercial success. So he had done Fool If You Think It's Over in the late 70s, that had been big in the States in particular. But then it had taken him a while to achieve a higher level of commercial success. But he was in Ireland. He recorded Shamrock Diaries, which is a great album, and talks all about his life and his family, but everything about being in Ireland and then going back and seeing Middlesbrough 3 years later. So the connection was always there. He played Self Aid, which was probably 85, 86 in Dublin, taken on as a real honorary Irishman, and was always viewed very, very fondly every time he came back to play here.
Am I right in saying that he was probably a bigger star here than in his homeland, basically, or anywhere else?
Probably for a time. I think his music and the sort of the bluesier style of his music really appealed to people in America. So he was always probably bigger in America than he was in Europe. And then he would have definitely been, and people would obviously tell by his voice, that he was a real sort of north of England. So rather than being, you know, from down sort of London or down south, he was that bit further forward up in Middlesbrough. So he had a particular following that was, I suppose, in a belt that stretched across the industrial northeast to northwest of England and then across into Ireland as well, where I think just the music and it very much his storytelling style. And the fact, let's face it, an awful lot of the songs were 5, 6 and 7 minutes long. We love a good story that perhaps other people mightn't be so patient for.
Tell me then the story behind Driving Home for Christmas, because it's a good one, isn't it?
It is. Well, he's in that period in the 80s where things haven't been going so well for him. He hasn't managed to recreate the success that he had in the late 70s. He's been dropped by his manager. They're trying to record a new album. He's recording in Abbey Road and he needs to get home, but the record label aren't going to spring for a train ticket to get him home. So he rings his wife, Joan, and Joan has to drive down from Middlesbrough to bring him home. So they're literally, they are driving home for Christmas. He's looking around. He's seen all the people in the cars beside him, and at the time he said, and when he's talking about this, he was brilliant talking about it. He would talk about how, look, he saw the people in the cars next to him weren't necessarily quite so happy, but he felt that, okay, look, this is the time to be celebrated. So when he went back then and he wrote Driving Home for Christmas, which he thought was a sort of a throwaway, it ended up being released as a B-side to a single. He never thought this song was going to get the profile or the success that it had, but he felt like this was nice. This was him and his wife, and this was the journey home.
And it was a slow burner because it didn't like top the charts or anything when it did get out there.
Absolutely, Katie. It reached number 53 in the charts when it was released first, and it never, even to now, it never broke the top 10 either in Ireland or in the UK. It never, the 11 was the best that he ever managed. It's just had that, the fact that it has been used and is played so often and is one of probably, there might be 30 or 40 standards that are out there as Christmas songs, but to the point that even through his own success that followed on from that, that wasn't really related to Driving Home for Christmas, but right the way up to now, it's still a song that's played all the time and generates the guts of 200 grand in royalties every year.
200 grand a year. Yeah, we were actually had this conversation when we played it last week about these songs that are like the pension plans for various artists.
Yes.
And 200 grand a year, indeed. I think a lot of people of a certain vintage listening to us today might have another of his albums, though, at home, Water Sign. That was the one that really broke big in Ireland, wasn't it?
It's funny that a lot of this happened at quite a sort of a time. He had been in that sort of difficult phase where he was trying to get albums out and he was trying to build on that sort of commercial success, and it was really, Water Sign was probably this of all of it. So he went through a sequence then of about six albums. You mentioned Shamrock Diaries, there was The Road to Hell, which is my favourite album of his, and then Auberge that followed on. So a sequence probably then of 7 or 8 years where he was releasing an album once every 18 months, this is where it really started to take off for him.
Yeah, but as you say, they're a difficult few years for him. He's had health issues for the last number of years, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer back in the year 2000, has had quite a lot of surgery since. He had a stroke in 2016, but he was still playing, he was still performing, and I think he felt that he had had a number of, I suppose, chances, you know, is that he'd managed to get himself back on stage, back recording and back, and it seems to be what he loved most was playing, you know, and up until very recently he was still playing.
Listen, we leave it there. The line is giving us a little bit of jip there, but I think we've got most of that. Simon Marr, many, many thanks for that.